Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, July 11th, 2023. Residents to share concerns about city manager finalist. Former city manager's daughter among those to voice concerns about Tommy Gonzalez, by Stuart Doreen, staff writer. The daughter of the late Midland city manager, Courtney Sharp, plans on speaking at Tuesday's council meeting to tell city leaders to consider another candidate for the city's top executive. The council plans to vote on Tuesday whether to allow the mayor to negotiate a contract with Tommy Gonzalez to become the city of Midland's next city manager. Mayor Lori Blanc, Councilwoman Robin Poole, and Councilman Dan Corrales penned an opinion article that appeared in the Reporter-Telegram showing their support for Gonzalez. The Reporter-Telegram also has talked to other council members who indicated Gonzalez likely has the support of at least four members. They are making a mistake, Reagan Sharp said. I am like every other Midlander that wants to tell them they are making a mistake. I know from my dad what it takes to be a city manager, and I know that he is not the right fit for Midland. Sharp, a Midland High graduate who is raising a family in Midland, stated Tommy Gonzalez's history isn't without accusations from time spent in Lubbock, Harlingen, Irving, and El Paso. She believes that history should be considered seriously, even if a first step is to hold off on approval Tuesday. There have been others on social media that have asked why the city of Midland didn't follow Midland College's lead in having forums of its finalists. Gonzalez's history is a stain on a white T-shirt, Sharp said. I don't understand how he is a finalist. If we had other offers on the table, and if he was the best, that is shocking. Sharp stated that the biggest thing her dad left, a legacy at City of Midland and large shoes to fill. Courtney Sharp was city manager in Midland from 2008 to 2020. He is not here to defend himself, but I am, Sharp said. I refuse to see his work go down the drain by some individual who thinks they are all that. I want the best for Midland. Financially savvy or master of spin? Editor's note, the following story was written in 2013 after Midland City of Manager finalist Tommy Gonzalez and the City of Irving separated. Gonzalez later served as city manager in El Paso. By Brandon Formby, Dallas Morning News. Irving City Manager Tommy Gonzalez steered City Hall through a devastating recession without the deep layoffs and service cuts suffered in cities across the nation, and he did it while saving taxpayers tens of millions of dollars. In the wake, two divergent reputations have emerged. Some regarded the 46-year-old U.S. Army veteran and dedicated family man as a savvy leader whose constant push for improvement spurs excellence. Others see him as a hypocritical master of spin whose preference for image over reality let isolation and fear seep into the depths of a constantly changing city organizational chart. Left to sort out the conflicting portraits is a city council currently debating whether to keep or cast off Gonzalez and how much to spend on either decision. His current contract, worth up to $489,500 this year and one of the most lucrative for a Texas city manager, will expire May 1st. Gonzalez last week voluntarily waived the contract's automatic renewal clause moments before the council was poised to end it. He said he wants to stay at the helm. The uncertainty of Gonzalez's future comes at a time when resident and employee satisfaction surveys show surging approval of City Hall and the city crime rate continues to set record lows. The city of 216,000, sandwiched between Dallas and Fort Worth, has an enviable roster of Fortune 500 companies, but also the problems of an inner-ring suburb with changing demographics. And lest anyone has missed the city-produced videos, freshly wrapped Las Colinas people, movers, and new signature lines in city employee emails, the decision will also come on the heels of Irving becoming only the second city in the nation to win the Malcolm Baldrige National Quality Award for Performance Excellence. Tommy Gonzalez has done what the council has asked him to do and then some, said council member Rose Canaday. But deliberations about Gonzalez's fate also come after two development projects, each heralded as the respective saviors of North and South Irving, failed despite years of work. Efforts have so far cost the city more than $80 million. Questions for years have been raised about whether Gonzalez steered city resources and jobs to people from his past, including a key figure in one of the abandoned development plans. Then there are whispers at City Hall where some employees say that attempts to point out problems for years were ignored and greeted with retaliatory disciplinary actions. You have to illustrate your status as a team player with absolute loyalty to Tommy at all times, or be in fear of your job at all times, said former Mayor Herbert Gears, who ushered Gonzalez into the city manager job in 2006. Gonzalez initially ignored interview requests since last year. He gave a brief interview during a city council work session Wednesday and wrote a prepared statement after the Dallas Morning News emailed him more than 100 questions. When I was hired, I was directed to make the changes needed to improve the level of city services and make Irving a great city in which to live and work, he wrote Wednesday. Since then, I've been responsible for hundreds of decisions that haven't always made me popular, but have produced the desired results. Gonzalez has vocal supporters and critics among 9 council members, but a majority has not publicly weighed in about his future. In Lubbock, Gonzalez's first city manager position was on an interim basis in Lubbock. His tenure ended amid controversy. He received a $200,000 severance. A woman who accused him of age and gender discrimination received a $400,000 settlement, according to media reports. He left his second city manager job in Harlingen shortly after returning from military training and promised officials there he wouldn't seek reemployment. His next municipal leadership position was in Dallas. It ended 8 months after it began and came on the heels of Gonzalez's promise to Dallas city manager Mary Sum that he wasn't going to leave for the city manager job Irving was offering. The Irving Council was seeking a young leader to inject new energy into City Hall. A lot of employees were beginning to reach retirement age, and the council had grand visions for remaking the city. At the same time, revenue growth was slowing and overhead needed to shrink. It was a matter of wanting somebody to look at it from a different perspective than business as usual to see how we could become more streamlined and efficient, said former council member Rick Stopfer. Gears was introduced to Gonzalez months earlier by Chris Wallace, the president and CEO of the Greater Irving Las Colinas Chamber of Commerce. Wallace met Gonzalez when they both lived in Lubbock. Council members bucked a search firm's recommendations and offered the job to Gonzalez, who took it when they offered certain compensation related to potential military leave. I recognized he had great value in areas where he could improve, and I felt like the same was true for me, Gears said. Lean Six Sigma. Gonzalez quickly got to work looking at the organization through the lens of Lean Six Sigma. That business practice aims to eliminate wasteful and unnecessary processes that can hinder productivity and drive up operational costs. Like karate, practitioners' mastery levels are denoted by belt colors. Gonzalez is a black belt whose administration has heavily relied on and preached about the benefits of his philosophy. He credits the use of Lean Six Sigma with helping the city save $44 million, decreasing how long street projects take, and improving the appearance of neighborhoods. The city manager frequently speaks outside the city about using Lean Six Sigma. Gonzalez on Thursday told the Irving Las Colinas Rotary Club that it helped the city win the Baldrige Award last year. You have to have the results to win this kind of award, he said. This is a result of our fiscal responsibility. Long accused of allowing South Irving to fall into decline while Las Colinas and Valley Ranch flourished, council members made the oldest part of the city a priority when Gonzalez came on board. Months after his arrival, the city's years-long difficulty in finding a private partner ended when the council hired Delbert McDougall of Lubbock to redevelop the area. McDougall was one of many prominent Lubbock residents who wrote letters in support of Gonzalez being named city manager there. His son, Mark McDougall, was mayor at the time and had supported Gonzalez's bid for Irving city manager. Gonzalez, since 2011, has not responded to questions about whether he introduced or recommended the McDougalls to the city council. The city ended its contract with the McDougalls Heritage District LLC in March after the party's 5-year partnership didn't result in any new construction projects. The council took over or forgave more than $30 million in loans made to McDougal entities and is now trying to sell several parcels of land that were collectively bought for almost three times the assessed value. McDougal companies also received $1.2 million spent for consulting fees and expenses, including at least $59,500 in a housing allowance some council members didn't know about. That partnership's lack of construction is a primary reason City Council member Joe Putnam wants Gonzalez replaced. It was because of his management and his recommendation and his judgment that the city of Irving now has a $57.6 million liability on a project that has absolutely accomplished nothing, Putnam said. Entertainment Center. Gonzalez also is a primary target of a $39 million breach of contract lawsuit filed by the developers of a planned $252 million Las Colinas Entertainment Center. A deal to build the project fell apart last year after the city and Las Colinas Group each failed to secure their respective financing. The city had already spent more than $25 million developing the center. Las Colinas Group, in its lawsuit, accused Gonzalez of undermining the deal in part because its officers declined the city manager's request that they make donations to his son's private school. The suit paints Gonzalez as a man who favors people and businesses who provide him with benefits. In an affidavit, community activist Anthony Bond said Gonzalez had him get tickets to American Airlines Center events from city vendor the Burrell Group. Gonzalez last week didn't directly answer whether he felt it was improper to accept tickets from people who did business with the city. We've made the best decisions in our community by having strong relationships with the different nonprofits, the businesses, and continuing to grow our city, he said. Las Colinas Group officials also said Gonzalez ordered the developer to hire Pam Brown to work on the project. They said she lacked the skills Gonzalez touted. Gonzalez denied he pushed her hiring on them. Last year, he said he wasn't familiar with her work because she had worked for the Irvine Convention and Visitors Bureau, but not the city. He declined to comment last week on four meetings with Brown he charged to his city credit card. The Las Colinas Group lawsuit said Gonzalez told them Brown had experience in the hotel convention industry, but Las Colinas officials determined that she could do nothing for them and asked Gonzalez to take her back. YMCA. According to the same spending records, Gonzalez, between May 2009 and October 2012, occasionally used his city-paid memberships to La Cima Club and the Four Seasons to gain access to the upscale venues for personal reasons. Gonzalez later paid the city back for the meals. They included a Valentine's Day meal, a Thanksgiving meal, and a $1,000 event for one of his sons. Last year, Code Enforcement Director Teresa Adrian marshaled city resources to clear dirt illegally dumped on fields used by the Irving family, YMCA, where Gonzalez coaches basketball. The request came from YMCA Director Doug Fox, who said he was worried about children's safety because there was concrete and metal in the dirt pile. Fox, Gonzalez, and Adrian did not answer questions about whether Gonzalez's tie to the YMCA influenced city staffers to help the nonprofit. Gonzalez said the city has an established history of helping and partnering with nonprofits. He and Adrian did not answer questions about how much it cost the city to remove the dirt. Gonzalez received the YMCA's Campaigner of the Year Award last month. Slick Productions. The city-owned cable network also has changed dramatically under Gonzalez. Irving Community Television Network's simple programs about the community gave way to Slick Productions that tout City Hall initiatives and accomplishments. The city manager's report during council meetings went from a vocal update to the presentation of a meticulously produced video highlighting the successes of city staff executing council members' visions. That went a long way in conditioning our minds that this guy has really done a great job as city manager, Gear said. He used the fact that self-promotion was attractive to us as elected officials. Gears, Putman, and Stopper said the station no longer engages residents but instead serves as a promotional arm of City Hall. Now it's too much of look how great we are and not enough of how people can get involved in the city, Stopper said. The network since 2007 has been honored with several awards from the Texas Association of Telecommunications Officers and Advisors. Under Gonzalez, it won that group's award for best overall excellence in government programming in 2009. City spokeswoman Susan Rose said the station still covers local events such as symphony and band performances. She said that staff has increased programming about City Hall to give residents insight into their government. Eliminating jobs. A major source of the savings Gonzalez touts came from eliminating positions, holding jobs open, and giving more duties to remaining employees. Some City Hall insiders say as staffing ranks eroded, some of those who spoke up about staffing problems or other issues departments faced, retaliation, or felt forced to leave. As a number of vacant or eliminated positions increased, so did Gonzalez's compensation. His salary and compensation will cost the city more than $489,000 this fiscal year if he remains through September and receives a scheduled bonus and grant. From his 2006 hiring through September, the city spent more than $2 million on his compensation. Overall, we've benefited, but we've also paid a heavy price for that, said Gears. Not just his contract, but people's lives and careers that were altered. Staff writers Deborah Fleck, Gloria Hernandez, and Avi Selk contributed to this report. 100 Degree Days in 2023 Approach 20 by Stuart Doreen, staff writer. The National Weather Service expects 100 degree days in Midland will continue through at least July 17th. The NWS reported the second straight 100 degree day and 19th this year in Midland on Monday. There is no rain in the 7-day forecast, according to the NWS. Weather report, Monday's high, 103 degrees. Typically high, 96 degrees. Monday's low, 74 degrees. Typically low, 73 degrees. Last 3 days, Saturday, 98 degrees. Sunday, 103 degrees. Monday, 103 degrees. Next 3 days, Tuesday, 105 degrees. Wednesday, 106 degrees. And Thursday, 104 degrees. Source, National Weather Service. City to vote on $6.6 million recycling improvements by Stuart Doreen, staff writer. New City of Midland recycling locations will be located in North and West Midland and could cost as much as $6.6 million to come to fruition. The Midland City Council on Tuesday will vote to go out for bids for the construction of the Citizen Collection Station North and Citizen Collection Station West projects. Due to the continued growth throughout the City of Midland, Solid Waste believes it is necessary to construct 2 citizen collection stations to better serve our residents, the city reported in its agenda packet. The North Citizen Collection Station will be located at North State Highway 349 near the new water tower. The West Citizen Collection Station will be located on Business 20 near Big Sky Drive-In. On Tuesday, the council will have the opportunity to approve plans and specifications for North Citizen Collection Station project and the West Citizen Collection Station project and authorize city staff to advertise a request for competitive sealed proposals. Plans and specifications are provided from the professional services agreement with Park Hill for the design and construction documents for the city collection station's construction, the city reported. The City of Midland also shows this project has 2 phases, a design and bid phase, cost $613,800, and a construction phase, estimated cost $6 million. The current Citizens Collection Station is located at 4100 Smith Road, north of Claydesta. The Citizens Collection Station is a great place to recycle your aluminum, cardboard, paper, plastic, metals, yard waste, and large household items. The city states on its website, free mulch is also available. County announces paving changes by Ben Schaefer, staff writer. Midland County reported Monday that the schedule for asphalt paving area roads has changed. County Road 1250 will be closed starting Monday night and Tuesday night. County Road 1260 will close Wednesday night. County Road 1270 will close the nights of July 17th and 18th. All these closures are asphalt paving. County denies tax rebate for Bass Pro Shop developer by Ben Schaefer, staff writer. Midland County will not grant a sales tax rebate for Hodges Development Services, the developer of the new proposed Bass Pro Shops coming to Northwest Midland. The discussion began during the May 8th Commissioner's Court meeting. That's when Charles Hodges of Hodges Development Services asked Midland County for a 10-year property tax abatement and a 7-year sales tax rebate for the proposed Bass Pro Shops. County leaders granted the property tax abatement on May 8th. They tabled the sales tax decision until Monday morning. County Attorney Russell Malm discussed the steps that needed to be taken to grant a sales tax rebate. Midland County has never granted a sales tax rebate for a new business like this, officials stated. In order to do a sales tax rebate, first we would have to create a program under Chapter 381 of the Local Government Code, Malm said. A community and economic development program, something to promote local economic development. Malm said this is because the county is prohibited constitutionally in granting the sales tax rebate to any individual or business without a stated purpose. The city of Midland had already approved both the property tax abatement and sales tax rebate prior to the May 8th Commissioner's Court meeting. Precinct 4 Commissioner Diane Anderson said the property tax was one thing, but her constituents are not in favor of granting a sales tax rebate. Precinct 1 Commissioner Scott Ramsey said the county has never granted a sales tax rebate and is worried about the direction it could send local business and Midland County. Ramsey opposed the property tax abatement for Bass Pro Shops. County Judge Terry Johnson opposed the sales tax rebate as well. My concern as well is that it may open up opportunities for other folks to come to the county for sales tax rebates. Precinct 3 Commissioner Luis Sanchez said that can of worms seems to be getting bigger and bigger the more we keep talking about it. Hopple joins Midland's Mount Rushmore for all-time athletes by Stuart Doreen, staff writer. My Mount Rushmore of all-time Midland athletes now has three members. The first two were Cedric Benson and Doug Russell. The former had the all-time best resume of a high school running back in the state of Texas, delivered with 5,540 rushing yards at the University of Texas, still 11th all-time in NCAA division in history. Was an NFL first-round pick and rushed for more than 6,000 yards professionally. The second was Doug Russell, who won two Olympic gold medals in 1968 and beat Mark Spitz in the 100-meter butterfly. On Sunday, I made Bryce Hopple my third. Hopple was a state champion in the 800 meters at Midland High. He ran track at Kansas, where he was a two-time national champion and four-time Big 12 champion. On Sunday, he completed the sweep of U.S. track and field 800-meter indoor and outdoor titles and defended his outdoor title from 2022. Hopple's dominated his sport in all three levels in a way that Benson and Russell couldn't. Would an Olympic medal be nice? Sure, give the man time. As a former sports editor and longtime Midlander, I take my creation of an athletic Midland Mount Rushmore seriously. At this point, I couldn't tell you who would be my fourth member. One could make the case for, in no particular order, Mike Timlin, Randy Velarde, Tom Brahani, Keith Bishop, Jake Young, and Natalie Hines. But I feel confident that my top three are undisputed for excellence and in beyond the high school ranks. And I like what I see of Hopple. On Sunday, he showed he liked to compete, and he showed the road for any national team goes through him. And now the competitor and former Midland High Bulldog has qualified for the World Championships again. But no matter how Hopple performs in Budapest, he's again America's best in the 800 meters, and undoubtedly a member of any reputable Mount Rushmore of Midland athletes. How Tommy Gonzalez could impact a divided city council by Stuart Doreen, staff writer. Will Tommy Gonzalez be the answer to what ails this Midland City Council? That is a question worth exploring as city leaders decide on whether to give the mayor the ability to negotiate with Gonzalez to become the next city manager in Midland. The council meeting is set for 10 a.m. Tuesday at Midland City Hall at 300 North Lorraine Street. The Midland City Council had a rocky start to the first 6 months of 2023. Personality clashes forced the Midland City Council to go through training with a facilitator in February. The council, at the workshop and during the council retreat, worked on communication and personality issues with each other and city staff. There had been concerns with city staff that some council members weren't going through the city manager's office to take care of issues inside City Hall. When asked about the city manager's role in working with a fractured council and one whose members had been known to bypass the city manager's office, Gonzalez, a former city manager in Lubbock, Harlingen, Irving, and El Paso, offered the following. I believe that as a city manager, I have and our staff, we collectively have, a huge responsibility in executing the vision of city council in this community, Gonzalez said. And I believe once we get to a level where we're very efficient and very forward-thinking about that, it will help the council align better with one another and help them see what can be if we all work really well with one another. And we, as a staff, are executing the vision that they have, because if the council has concerns about that and we're not performing, we need to step up to another level. And they then step up to another level as well. So I think that if a council has to be involved in the day-to-day, then that's not necessarily the council's fault. He added, I want them to focus more on their priorities and not necessarily their concerns, because we should be taking care of their concerns so they can focus on the bigger picture and they can focus on their priorities. MDC to consider proposals for downtown master plan by Mella McEwen, staff writer. Develop of downtown Midland not only as a business destination, but for retail, restaurants, and entertainment is a long-held desire of city officials. Progress has been made through the building of Centennial Park and microbusinesses and restaurants on Wall Street nearby. But to further the development, members of Midland Development Corporation decided to request proposals for a downtown master plan. Three companies, Park Hill, Half, and Kimley Horn, responded, submitting proposals that offered a pathway to turning downtown Midland into that desired destination point. As their monthly meeting Monday, board members discussed the issue and indicated they would like to hear presentations from the companies to inform their decisions moving forward. We'll be moving forward with that directive, MDC Executive Director Sarah Harris told the Reporter Telegram by email. All three companies highlighted similar work in their communities, proposing multidisciplinary teams to oversee development of the scope, schedule, and budget of a master plan, design of that plan, and then implementing that plan. Park Hill proposed 8 tasks that would take between 2 and 10 months and would require consultation with the MDC, City of Midland officials, and members of the community to inventory existing assets, formulate a vision of downtown Midland, and develop an implementation strategy. Half outlined a process that begins with gathering the data necessary to create a plan, generating a vision for downtown, and creating an activation strategy. In its proposal, the company said a plan will be influenced by the build-out potential of downtown Midland, defining development intensity and design, incentivizing projects that could serve as a catalyst for business development, development of a downtown neighborhood, creating downtown destinations and civic space, and solving parking concerns. The company also proposed that South Marionfield Street could serve as a front porch to downtown Midland. Kimley Horn offered a 6-phase approach to developing a master plan, beginning with an initiation meeting and tour, taking an inventory of existing conditions and gathering data, mapping the area, developing a strategic vision, direction, and framework, issuing an illustrated vision of the plan, establishing probable cost and implementation strategy, and finally turning into a completed study for adoption. All three companies also offered strategies for community involvement through town halls and online websites. Board members also approved the MDC budget for the 2023-24 fiscal year. The proposed budget adopted by board members is for a total of $23,721 million, which includes $13.4 million in prior year committed incentives, up to $9,999 million in the current fiscal year. The biggest increase in the year's budget is cash generated for economic development incentives. Revenues not budgeted for operating expenses or prior year commitments, budgeted as cash generated for economic development incentives to come in fiscal year 2024. That represented an increase to $9,098 million in the upcoming fiscal year from $5,129 million in the current year. The University of Texas Permian Basin also received $200,000 from the MDC as part of an incubator and market space grant agreement between the two parties for development of the Center for Energy and Economic Development at State Highway 191 and Farm to Market Road 1788 into a business development incubator and manufacturing space. MFD partners with Animal Services to bring awareness to pet fire safety by Mercedes Cordero, staff writer. The Midland Fire Department is partnering with Midland Animal Services and Tosha Sport to bring awareness to pet fire safety. National Pet Fire Safety Day is July 15th. Did you know 500,000 pets are affected by home fires each year and 1,000 home fires are started by pets each year? Here are some pet fire safety tips. Never leave pets alone around an open flame and electrical wires out of reach. Have functioning smoke alarms and educate your family on fire safety. Have an emergency plan in the event of a fire, including a safe place to take your pet during an emergency. Prevent pets from accessing the stovetop and hot pots and pans. Make sure your pets wear an identification tag and are microchipped with current information. Want to adopt any of the animals pictured with the fire department? The summer adoption special is $20 and includes a microchip, rabies, and booster vaccinations, parvo, distemper for dogs, and FVRCP for cats, and a $70 voucher towards the spay or neuter of the adopted animal. Every week, volunteer photographer Sasha Sport photographs some of the animals available for adoption. On a monthly basis, the shelter takes care of approximately 350 to 400 pets. Here's more information on how you can adopt. To adopt one of these pets, please call the shelter to set an appointment at 432-685-7420. Hours of operation, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Wednesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday. The shelter is located at 1200 North Fairgrounds Road. Midlander arrested for pulling out gun at fair to Midland by Mercedes Cordero, staff writer. A 22-year-old Midland man was arrested Friday after pointing a gun at two people after being denied entry to Fair to Midland, according to court documents. A Midland Police Department officer was dispatched Friday at about 12:42 a.m. to Fair to Midland in reference to a disturbance with weapons. The officer spoke with a Fair to Midland employee working the front door who stated that a male, later identified as Mario Alberto Hurtado Jr., and his friend showed up at the door but were not in the dress code that the West Midland Bar has in place. Fair to Midland enforces a dress code from 8 p.m. until closing, according to the Fair to Midland website. The employee also stated that a patron already inside the bar had notified him that Hurtado was harassing her and following her from another bar, according to the arrest affidavit. The employee refused service to prevent a possible disturbance based on these two things, according to the arrest affidavit. Hurtado got angry for being denied service and began cursing and arguing with the employee. At this time, an off-duty officer became involved and asked if the employee needed assistance. The off-duty officer and the employee followed Hurtado to the parking lot to make sure he left the premises, according to the arrest affidavit. When Hurtado got in his vehicle, he pulled a black pistol and pointed it at the off-duty officer and the employee and yelled, "Come here, B," before racking the gun and pointing it again at them. He then fired off 3 to 4 rounds in an unknown direction when he left, according to the arrest affidavit. Hurtado was being held Monday in Midland County Jail on 2 counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Second-degree felony charges. Bond is set at a total of $100,000. Odessa police arrest man who crashed into HEB by Mercedes Cordero, staff writer. Odessa police have arrested a 43-year-old man who intentionally crashed into the main entrance of HEB and caused $50,000 worth of damage. The Odessa Police Department reported that officers responded Saturday at about 11:30 p.m. to HEB on 3801 East 42nd Street in reference to a major crash. OPD's investigation revealed that Gonzalo Armendariz, driving a gray Toyota Pathfinder, intentionally crashed through the main entrance of HEB. Armendariz caused approximately $50,000 worth of damage to the store, according to OPD. The investigation also revealed that Armendariz pulled the fire alarm and was intoxicated while being in possession of a firearm. Armendariz was charged with criminal mischief and assault on a security officer, both third-degree felonies, DWI, a Class B misdemeanor, and 3 Class A misdemeanors of unlawful carrying of a weapon, false alarm, assaulting, causing bodily injury. Geraldine Porter Good of Midland, Texas, passed away at 91 years of age on Wednesday, July 6, 2023. The family would like to thank Hospice of Midland, Ashton Medical Lodge, and Beehive Home Care of Andrews, Texas, for the care they provided. We would also like to thank St. Luke's United Methodist Church for nursing home visits, cards, and gifts over the years. In lieu of flowers, donation can be made to Hospice of Midland, the American Cancer Society, or a charity of one's choice. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory. The funeral service was held on Sunday, July 9, 2023, at 2 p.m. Robin Stevenson, 70, passed away on July 1, 2023. Celebration of Life service will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday, July 22, 2023, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. He passed away at the home of his brother, Larry, and he thought that was why God kept him alive after many health struggles, so he could lovingly care for Larry. He called his loving wife, Regina, Punkin, and she called him Hunkin. So here's one more, see you later, and I love you, Hunkin, from Punkin. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.mpwelch.com. Catalina Martinez, 68, passed away on Saturday, July 8, 2023, in Midland, Texas. Viewing will be Wednesday, July 12, 2023, from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., with a celebration of life at 11 a.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home Chapel. Funeral arrangements have been entrusted to Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com. Jimmy K. Stone, 53, of Midland, Texas, passed away on Friday, June 30, 2023. Memorial services will be held at a later date. Arrangements were made with Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com. Thelma M. Trawick, 95, of Midland, passed away July 4, 2023. Rosary will be recited at 7 p.m. July 11, 2023, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Chapel. The rite of Christian burial will be held Wednesday, July 12, 2023, at 2 p.m. at St. Stephen's Catholic Church, 4601 Neely Drive in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, July 11th. ECSO deputy involved in shooting. Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths reported on Sunday. The Crane County Sheriff's Office requested assistance from the Ector County Sheriff's Office in reference to a wanted barricaded subject in the 3200 block of Haley Street in Crane County. At about 4:15 p.m., Salvador Manzo Jr., 44, was struck by gunfire from an Ector County deputy after he grabbed a handgun. Manzo Jr. was immediately transported to MCHER, where he was pronounced deceased a short time later. The deputy, whose name will be withheld at this time, has been placed on administrative leave for an undetermined amount of time. The Texas Rangers were called and are currently conducting the investigation. Commissioners have busy Tuesday agenda. Ector County Commissioners have a busy Tuesday agenda for their meeting at 10 a.m. at the Annex. Fawcett said a public hearing on tax abatements for solar projects and renewing tax abatements in reinvestment zones are two important items. The court will discuss an outdoor burn ban. Fawcett said Monday the item is up to the commissioners as Ector County is currently just a bit below the typical threshold for a burn ban. accepting a $350 donation from Rick Young to the Ector County Sheriff's Office, accepting a $135,000 donation from Bustin' for Badges to the Ector County Sheriff's Office, approving sale by auction for items declared surplus. The court will have a public hearing, discussion, and take potential action on resolution for renewal, reauthorization, and readoption of guidelines and criteria for tax abatement in reinvestment zones and enterprise zones. Origis Energy USA Rockhound Solar Projects Tax Abatement Public Hearing Necessary Action Regarding Approval of Adoption of Resolutions and the Tax Abatement Agreement with Origis Energy USA Rockhound Solar. We'll discuss approving a contract for jail-based mental health services between Permia Care and Ector County, discuss a food service agreement for senior citizen centers and the adult and juvenile detention centers, discuss fees update with JSA Architects, discuss courthouse and annex TPO roof specifications for roof replacement and annex roof replacement projects. The proposal specifications are ready to advertise and distribute to vendors upon approval. Discuss a Texas State Library and Archives Commission grant regarding a special grants program with Texas State Library to acquire a new Sprinter van, bookmobile, for extended outreach across Ector County. Discuss Bickerstaff Health Delgado Acosta LLP General Legal Services Agreement regarding the approval of a legal services engagement agreement. Fawcett said this item will help the county navigate items like game room ordinances. Discuss Hillmont Estates streetlights regarding agreement specifications with developer Ron Chestnut. Discuss a budget amendment request to state tax fund for $2 million. We'll hear a Kaufman Associate Airport presentation regarding their final draft of the master plan for the Odessa-Schlemmer Field Airport. Pfluger reports on the first 6 months of the Republican majority. On Monday, U.S. Representative August Pfluger, Texas 11, released a report on the first 6 months of the House Republican majority. "It is the honor of my lifetime to serve the 11th District of Texas in Congress. I am proud of the progress we have made in the first 6 months of the new Republican majority and will continue delivering results for the 11th District of Texas," said Pfluger. Representative August Pfluger, 118th Congress, Mid-Year Report. First 6 months of the Republican majority wins. Passed H.R. 1, the Lower Energy Costs Act, to restore American energy dominance from the Permian Basin. Passed H.R. 2, the Secure the Border Act of 2023. Passed HALT Fentanyl Act to stop the flow of fentanyl into our communities. Passed H.R. 5, the Parents' Bill of Rights. Defunded President Biden's army of 87,000 IRS agents. Terminated the COVID-19 national emergency. Removed corrupt Representatives Eric Swalwell, Ilhan Omar, and Adam Schiff from their committees. Nullified D.C.'s soft-on-crime bill, ended proxy voting, blocked the Biden administration's Waters of the United States, WOTUS rule, stopped selling our Strategic Petroleum Reserve, SPR, to communist China, secured critical permitting reform for the oil and gas industry, eliminated the military COVID-19 vaccine mandate, established the bipartisan select committee on China to protect Americans from the rising CCP threat, founded the select subcommittee on the weaponization of the federal government, defended the right to life with the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, delivering results for the 11th District of Texas. $200,000 returned to constituents. 23,000 responses to constituents. 400 cases closed. 94 co-sponsored bills. 19 sponsored bills. 18 town hall meetings. Legislation. $22 trillion in spending cuts. Pfluger voted yes. Banning men from girls' sports. Pfluger vote yes. Work requirements for government assistance. Pfluger vote yes. Finish the border wall. Pfluger vote yes. In chain migration. Pfluger vote yes. Speed up pipeline construction. Pfluger vote yes. Stop mass student loan forgiveness. Pfluger vote yes. Censor Adam Schiff. Pfluger vote yes. August Pfluger report continued. House Energy Action Team Chairman, leading a movement empowering energy. 100-plus members. Secured permitting reform in debt ceiling negotiations. Educating members on the oil and gas industry, critical in developing HR1. Homeland Security, counterterrorism, law enforcement, intelligence subcommittee chairman, supporting law enforcement, bolstering border security, and protecting the homeland. Held 6 subcommittee hearings on border security, threat of Chinese Communist Party, and transnational crimes. Hosted a congressional delegation trip to Latin America to examine border impacts. Pfluger provisions passed in H.R. 2. House Committee on Energy and Commerce. First ever representative for Midland and Odessa on energy and commerce. Hosted over 20 members of Congress in the Permian Basin for the first ever Energy and Commerce Committee field hearing in Midland and a Natural Resources Committee field hearing in Odessa. Pfluger provisions passed in H.R. 1. Striking President Biden's natural gas tax, implementing timelines for the EPA's evaluation of states' Class 6 wells primacy applications, exposing attempts by the Biden administration to shut down drilling in the Permian Basin through non-attainment and endangered species overreach, protecting Americans' data from the Chinese Communist Party and other big tech entities, leading the Mach 1 caucus, advocating for air power and Goodfellow Air Force Base. The Mach 1 caucus, members of Congress who previously served as fighter pilots, advocate to modernize U.S. air power capabilities and ensure heroes in uniform have the proper tools and training they need to secure the homeland. TxDOT issues railroad crossing work alert. Union Pacific Railroad will be performing asphalt work this week for some crossings in the area. Each location will take between 5 to 7 hours. Locations for work are as follows. BI-20 Fairgrounds scheduled Tuesday, July 11th. BI-20 West Stanton East of West Interchange scheduled Wednesday, July 12th. BI-20 East Midland West of East Interchange scheduled Thursday, July 13th, and possibly BI-20 SH-137 crossing. Watch for slow-moving traffic and construction vehicles. Hashtag be safe, drive smart. Hashtag in the streak, Texas. Synergy to donate $1 for each Sound of Freedom ticket sold to anti-trafficking organization. In a gesture of solidarity against human trafficking, Synergy has announced that for every Sound of Freedom ticket purchased in its Amarillo, Copperas Cove, Granbury, Marble Falls, Midland, Odessa, and Tulsa locations, the company will donate $1 toward Jacko Bullion's Ministries, the anti-trafficking organization, which served as consultants for the film and an unwavering force in the fight against this heinous crime. To donate directly to the organization, visit tinyurl.com/3SSBXZ3T. From Angel Studios, Sound of Freedom is based on a true story and stars Jim Caviezel, Passion of the Christ, as a federal agent who learns that a recently rescued boy's sister is still captive by child traffickers and decides to embark on a dangerous mission to save her. TxDOT issues traffic alert for Midland County. The Texas Department of Transportation issued a traffic alert on Tuesday, July 11th from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. Eastbound main lane traffic will shift to the service road area. As the shift is implemented, there will be alternating right and left eastbound main lane closures from Loop 250 to Cotton Flat for striping operations. Watch for slow-moving traffic and construction vehicles. Hashtag be safe, drive smart. Hashtag end the streak. TxDOT issues I-20 traffic alert update. On Tuesday, July 11th, County Road 1250 will be closed at the North Frontage Road intersection from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. for paving operations. Frontage road traffic will require brief stops for construction vehicle movement. Watch for warning signs and flaggers in this work zone. Texas State Library and Archives Commission awards $1.13 million in grants to Texas libraries. Starting this fall, 24 Texas libraries, including Ector County Library and Midland County Public Libraries, will begin or continue projects with funding from the Texas State Library and Archives Commission, TSLAC, a Monday press release announced. Technology development, bookmobiles and courier services, career support, tools for promoting tech literacy, and a wide range of other community projects and programs are among the successful grant proposals recently approved by TSLAC. Agency commissioners awarded statewide library grants totaling $1,133,135. The commission awards funding through several library grant programs focusing on special projects, technology, interlibrary resource collaboration, digitization efforts, and more. The majority of funding for these local awards comes from the Institute of Museum and Library Services, IMLS, in Washington, D.C. The agency applauds the importance and innovative work of Texas libraries, and we are glad to partner with public libraries and institutions of higher education throughout the state as they serve the unique needs of their communities, said TSLAC Director and Librarian Gloria Meraz in the release. These funds allow Texas libraries to respond to critical local needs with outstanding programs, services, educational support, and technology services. On behalf of the Commission, I am very excited to see the agency support these critical projects, TSLAC Chair Martha Wong said in the release. With funding from IMLS and support from TSLAC, Texas libraries continue to demonstrate how essential they are in providing transformational programs for the citizens whom we serve. The projects supported by these funds represent innovative programs and services that will enhance the abilities of libraries to meet the informational, educational, and economic goals of their communities. The grant period begins July 1, 2023 and will end June 30, 2024. More information can be found at www.tsl.texas.gov/grants. Bubba's 33 partners with Shark Research Institute. Bubba's 33 announced Monday that from Tuesday, July 11th through Tuesday, July 18th, Bubba's 33 locations in Midland and Odessa will celebrate Shark Week by partnering with the Shark Research Institute, donating a percentage of every shark bite drink purchased to the organization. More than 100 million sharks are killed each year for their fins, said Mario Sosa, managing partner, in a press release. We're proud to partner with this organization to help ensure the sustainability of every shark species. Available July 11th through July 18th only, Bubba 33 Shark Bite is a unique blend of vodka, coconut rum, blue Caraco, Sprite, and grenadine. A multidisciplinary nonprofit 501c3 scientific research organization, the Shark Research Institute was founded in 1991 as the first shark conservation organization in the U.S. today. The organization has field offices in Florida, Pennsylvania, and Texas, and internationally in Australia, Canada, Ecuador, Honduras, India, Mexico, Mozambique, South Africa, and the United Kingdom. For additional information, visit sharks.org.
Couple's relationship has changed after baby's birth. Dear Abby, ever since about my 8th month of pregnancy until now, 6 months postpartum, it seems like my husband is disgusted by me. He rarely initiates intimacy, doesn't kiss or hug me, and barely touches me. I am still about 30 pounds heavier than pre-pregnancy. His feelings for me, he says he loves me and I'm just being crazy, but I know I'm not. It sometimes feel like I am his babysitter and housekeeper. I know he is stressed because I stopped working, but it just seems as if he's always angry with me, and I don't know why. New Mom in the East. Dear New Mom, you have described how circumstances have changed for you since the birth of your baby. What you may not be taking into account is how reality may have changed for your husband. He may be stressed because he is now the sole wage earner and is overwhelmed by his responsibilities as a new father. Your instinct that something is different could be chalked up to that. Communication is so important between couples that it might be in your best interest to suggest the two of you facilitate it with the help of a marriage and family therapist. Dear Abby, I'm having a tough time with people who video chat and play videos on their cell phones. It's always at a volume you can hear from 30 feet away, and it happens when I'm dining at a bar or sitting in a restaurant, etc. It's distracting, intrusive, and really annoying. It's as if this behavior is now acceptable when it's not, at least to me. Any suggestion on confronting this behavior, or is it really my issue to deal with? If I could toss their phones into the ice machine at the bar, I would. Grouch in New Jersey. Dear Grouch, in a restaurant, if the sound of someone's cell phone video is intrusive, ask the host to move you to a quieter table. If it happens in a bar, it may be because the more crowded the place is, the louder it becomes, so either move to a quieter area or find a quieter venue. While I agree that many people spend more time on their cell phones than communicating directly with the people around them, you can't change them, and neither can I. So, learn to tolerate it. If it becomes too much for you, leave. Dear Abby, my husband sneezes really loud and it's kind of embarrassing. What should I do about this? I told him he should see a doctor because it happens a lot. Married to a noisemaker. Dear Married, people sneeze for various reasons, not all of them allergy-related. Your husband should discuss it with his doctor because the solution could be something simple. If he's unwilling, then earplugs might be the simplest solution for you if you can grab them when he starts going, ah, before the chew escapes.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.